This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Today I'm going to go ahead and we're going to start with prayer as they're getting our lights on. And we're going to give you the word that God has for this time, this people. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to be again in the house of God with the people of God. Holy Spirit, you reign in this place. You take control. From the top of the building to the bottom to the property line to the back of the property line, Lord, you are in control of everything. We, as vessels of God, surrender to you. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Each and everything that goes forth today, let it be to edify and glorify the name of Jesus, to lift up the name above every name. Lord, your words come forth from this vessel according to your will. I surrender myself completely to you. My thoughts and my words be nothing but yours, Lord. Let the hearts that hear this service, whether it be those that are in the building, those that are online, whether it be today, tomorrow, another day, Father, let it grow and take root in their hearts. Let it be a seed that produces fruit, and according to your word, it will not come back to you void. I claim that in the name of Jesus. I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor for allowing this vessel to stand here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you guys want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to go to Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. And it's a well-known scripture. It's a well-known account that Jesus, our Lord, encountered. And it's a beautiful thing, but I want to show you what God showed me about this. Several weeks ago, I was listening to one of the ladies teach online, and Holy Spirit started moving and talking to me and showing me this sermon here. That was last week or so. And I hear it many times when I listen to the ladies that teach on the live, on the women's ministry, and it's a beautiful thing because it feeds my soul. Just because my name is who I am, and just because I have what I have in this church doesn't mean that I can't be fed too. I need to be fed. And each and every one of those women, when they come forth and stand in that assignment that God has given them, they feed me. So don't think you're ever beyond being fed. Don't think you've ever reached it, because you have not. You have not. Paul, the great Paul that we all love and talk about, he says, I have not achieved it yet, but I'm pressing toward the mark of the call, of the high calling of God. So in Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand, You ladies birthed this message through the guiding of Holy Spirit. So let's read Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. And I briefly talked about it that day, but I want to expound on it today and give you more word, and people that didn't hear it needs to hear it. So it is verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. This is the NIV version. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. This sermon's called Alabaster Box Moment, if you want a title for it. It is actually a wonderful thing that it's got things in it that we need to be as servants of God, as children of God. But I'll let me read the rest of it. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Ooh, I pray to God that that's not us, ever. ever. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you, because he knew what was in Simon's mind. He said, tell me, teacher. Two people owed money to a certain money lender, and one owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which the one who had the bigger debt forgiven? He said, Jesus said, you have judged correctly. So you can be smart and still not smart. Then he turned toward the man or the woman, and he said to Simon, he says, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, which is a custom of that day, of course. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, which was a greeting, nothing more. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, putting oil on the head was an honoring of the guests that came in, a refreshment. It says, therefore, I tell you how many sins, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. There's a sermon just in that. It wasn't his love for her. It was her love for him. When you're going through hard times, look at yourself. How much love are you showing the Creator? How much love are you giving something else? I can tell you it's probably there's an imbalance. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Ooh. So there's more things going through my head, but I'm going to try to give you what God put on this paper. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. The word is a sharp two-edged sword. Thank you, Lord. Let it go. Let it go, Lord. I see four things in this message. I see boldness. I see brokenness. I see sacrifice, and I see faith. And let me tell you, if you're going to walk this walk out, you're going to need them all. With the help of Jesus and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. But let me just tell you what God showed me. In the Bible, boldness is a spirit-empowered confidence, courage, and fearlessness to act or speak truth, particularly in the face of persecution or danger. This is a Google definition you can find. It is not self-reliant. Other than surrender, but a conviction rooted in faith. Now, faith, let me tell you something about faith. Faith is just not trust. Faith is, even though I don't see it, I know it will be so according to God's word. That's faith. Faith is walking through the storm, not hearing or seeing where you're going. But God, being guided and led by Holy Spirit, that takes a boldness all on its own. That takes boldness in the Spirit. For some of us type A's, that takes a whole lot of boldness because we won't control it all. We want to know the plan. I want to know where I'm stopping, how long we're staying, what time I'm leaving, what time I need to get there. I want to know it all. But with Jesus, it's different. It's a surrender, which is part of her story, of course. It's a lion-like courage that focuses on God rather than fear. Have you ever seen an old lion? when the other lions try to, male lions try to get in their territory, they give them a warning. They start this certain roaring. I'm not going too far, sis. They start this certain roar, and it permeates and it goes miles. I mean, I don't know that it goes way out. In other words, I smell you coming because that's what he may not even seen him yet. But he says, I smell you coming. And we as children of God need that kind of discernment. We talked about that Wednesday night. You need that discernment. I smell you over there. I ain't seen you yet. I don't have to wait till I see you, even though some of them will sneak up on you sometimes. But it's a lion-like courage, and let me roar. Let me tell you who you have stepped premises on. The Holy Ghost is property. The God, I'm a child of God, and this is my land. This is my family. This is my life. Now, I'm not saying God don't take you through some scary stuff, because he will, and most of the time he's using it to teach you a couple of things. Things about yourself that need to be fixed, that need to come away and be shed so that you continue walking forward in your walk, whatever God's called you to do, and it's to build your faith in him. How many times have you faced an adversary or whatever it may be, and you say, but God. Only God could have done this. I have had that experience many times in my life. And if it hadn't been for God, because I was helpless to help myself or help with the situation, I had to rely on God to do what he knew was right. And we had this conversation in the car. He sits up high and looks down low. And he knows the end from the beginning. I'm only looking at a portion of it. I'm seeing the obstacles right now. But he sees what's way beyond there. He sees how this is going to make you stronger. And you'll walk through to the next issue. And you'll bring more glory to my name. I'm going to get you through this. We have work to do. Let's go. That was the boldness she had. She had boldness because she walked into a Pharisee's house. You know who he was? You know what a Pharisee was? They were the religious leaders of the day. And they were quite proud, as you can see. They were very, Jesus told him at one time, he says, you all are like tombs. You're dirty on the inside, but you look clean on the outside. That's my rendition of that verse. You're dead man, full of dead man's bones, he said. So how do I get this boldness? You have it if you have the Holy Spirit living within you. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. That's dunamis power. That's dynamite power. That's explosive. That moves things out of the way. Just breaks things off. Woo! Holy Spirit. I work in the dermatology business for many years, and we do a lot of breaking things off, because as you get older, you get these nice little crusties everywhere, and sometimes they just have to be taken off. The Holy Spirit does the same thing. I like to say it, he goes in one room at a time, flips the light on, says, okay, we got some boxes to unpack. He does, and I'm like, oh Lord. He doesn't lack the power to do it. If you've ever heard and seen dynamite operate, it is a powerful and a scary thing all at the same time. It's like, wow, that mountain just come down from that one stick of dynamite, or whatever, that building just fell, you know. That's the same power you're dealing with that lives within you. But the enemy wants you to think you can't do it, but you can through Holy Spirit. You got to do it his way. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's the part we don't like. Can I just change and not have to deal with everything else? No, you got to be a witness. You know what that means? Some people are going to see your struggle. And it's okay. Some people are going to see you go through it. And trust me, they ain't always in the church. They out there watching. As the old saying, you're the only Bible. that a lot of people see and read, and it's going to be your life. So you have this power for a reason. It says in Acts 4 and 31, it was very, very, I love this scripture. Let me read it because I hadn't really seen it. I saw it, but I hadn't really seen it. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with words of God boldly. Boldly. It was moving. That whatever that Holy Spirit was moving, because you can't make a building shake on your own. I'm a pretty good girl, big size girl, but I can't make a building shake on my own when I jump up and down. I might knock some stuff over that's toddled up, but no, Holy Spirit come in and he moved that joint. And they walked out in that boldness. And if you want to read, Peter went out and boldly proclaimed the good news. I found a scripture, Proverbs 28 and 1, King James Version. And I love this ending, and I probably have taught it once before. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That means I see you, as Brother John preached not too long ago. I see you. I see you. You're not shaking me. You're not going to back me down. Have you ever met those dogs that they're all bark, no bite? The enemy is kind of the same way. Have you ever met a bully? I met a bully or two in my life. I had one, and I've told the story many times. I had one that was picking on my younger sister. We're in elementary school. Over a guy, and I was like, I'm done with it. I'm still not older than this girl. And finally, I just come up to her one day. And if you ever meet a girl or a man who's like talking to you and they're ready to take you out and they are like shedding tears, I suggest you walk away, because their senses have disappeared at that time. And that's pretty much the way I am when it comes to my flesh. When I get angry, And as I'm fighting to hold back that psycho part, you know, that sinful part. So if you see me crying in that sense, you probably need to talk to me and pray for me. But anyways, when I stood up to her, she backed down. Even in front of the boyfriend and all his little friends. But that is the way the enemy is. That's why you have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. You use it. You use it with your mouth. You use it with the way you walk, the way you stand. You can't speak a sword and then act like you're afraid. You can't do that. You can't do that. You better put your money where your mouth is. Now, what the saying is, you got to put your money where your mouth is. So boldness. Let me tell you something. Boldness encourages even other people. Philippians 1 and 14, it says, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, this is Paul talking to the Philippians, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So when I see Miriam walk through whatever has come her way, and I see her strength, and I see her courage, don't you think that it's going to rub off on me? Because you know what? Whoever I hang out with usually does, I'll start acting like them. I mean, aren't we the same? If you around these weak, whiny, cry Christians all the time, you're going to find yourself doing the same thing. You're going to lose faith. Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Because some people were running, but you are not. So brokenness was the next thing that I noticed in that story. And this is not the brokenness that you live in. That's not the kind of brokenness I'm talking about. That's not the kind of brokenness. I'm talking about the kind that doesn't keep you hostage. But the kind which is in the hands of the master is a weapon against the enemy. Because let me tell you something, you can be out in the, when you've overcome things, when you've dealt with issues that you've overcome, I can guarantee you, you're going to walk out in this world and you're going to start noticing those people that are dealing with that same issue that you have been involved with and overcome. You will start seeing that brokenness in other people. Call it spiritual discernment, call it whatever you want. I was sitting at a pool at, well, on a lake, at a beachy lake with my sister, and a lady walked by us, and my sister immediately started spitting out what she saw that woman was dealing with. And she was telling the truth. I have been around women in church. In church. We ain't all perfect in church. That's why we come every week, right? That's why we should be here every day. She was dealing with issues in her life. I didn't know her from Adam, but I knew what to pray for her. I know how to pray for her. And it wasn't even an issue that I had dealt with personally. And I still could tell by leading of Holy Spirit, the guiding of Holy Spirit, his revelation, what she was dealing with. So brokenness, it's not our hostage, it's not a place where we're held hostage. It's a place where we say, God, I have been broken in this area. Here is my issue. I need your help to overcome it. And he will help you. Let's think about some of the broken people in the church, in the Bible. Just to name a few. Peter was broken at one point. Paul, his whole world changed, didn't it? He come from up here and he realized everything I have is just nothing but dung. Except knowing Christ. Ruth, Naomi. That's just to name a few. I'm sure there are more. But this brokenness comes from the knowledge of your sin and that you need a God, his salvation, and the love of God who gives this grace and this mercy. It is a humility understanding that I have access to better, and he can help me, and he will help me despite who I am or who I have been. One who has pride has no place in the kingdom of God. A vessel full of God's grace is what God can use. So let me tell you, as a song, I said this Wednesday night, I heard this song. It says, you're not broken, you're just not finished yet. So he's breaking it down a little at a time. Don't be discouraged about it because the enemy will come in and say, well, you know, sister so-and-so didn't go through that and brother so-and-so didn't. Honey, they going through their own things. Don't think that they're any better than you, because none of us are. None of us are. Put away the sorrow. You know, Paul, he even told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. How many times have I leaned on that scripture? I couldn't tell you. For when I am weak, Paul says, then I am strong. He has to remember it's not in me. We are all jars of clay that God is showing his glory through. When we transform by walking in faith and allowing Holy Spirit to do the work, and we have to do the work with him, then we become a light to this world for many that need us. We are new creatures in the beginning, but we have a lot of things that have to be worked out. Our minds have to be trained. You know, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So that's a whole process right there. All right, let's go down to sacrifice. She was the sacrifice. You know, people say it's the alabaster box. It's what, you know, some stories they break it, some they pour it out, whatever it was. She was the sacrifice to come into that house, to kneel down and do what she did. That shows a heart of servitude. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it tells us that we are supposed to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And that starts with not conforming to the world and being transformed by renewing our minds. That entails the whole thing, the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act, the way you don't act. It's an ongoing process. It's a sacrifice. This includes your mind, your body, your soul. This is a day-by-day choice to be a sacrifice for Jesus. Brother Nick came in here several weeks ago. He says, do you want to be a fool for God? Because that's what he's looking for. I felt that. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one. It's the truth. He's going to ask you to do some things because you're always denying self. You're always taking up the cross, and you're always following Jesus' example. This is how you put the kingdom first in your life. I'm not saying you can't have a job. I'm not saying you can't have a family. I'm not saying you can't have a college degree. I'm not saying all that stuff. I'm saying follow God's will for your life, And it's not going to look like mine. And it's not like going to look like brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. It might be similar in a way, but it's what God's will is for your life. Paul said it beautifully in Galatians 2 and 20. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting, by having faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith was the next thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love the Amplified Version. It says, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. We live by our feelings a lot, don't we? Sometimes God's going to ask you to do something that don't feel good. Let me tell you that. How many of y'all are in that boat? Every day I could shout and tell you all about it. Woo! Glad I'm not alone. The flesh always lusts after the spirit. That means it's always at war together. It always wants what the spirit doesn't want, and the spirit wants what the flesh doesn't want. Do you know you serve a holy God? And because he is holy, he doesn't want anything to keep you from what you're called to do, and from him, as a matter of fact. He is holy in all he does. And sometimes his holiness looks like a whale that comes and swallows you up because you jumped off or you got thrown off a boat because you were in disobedience. But let's not talk about that part. You're just going to let them men throw you in the water and drown and die, right? Rather than do God's will. But the big fish, I said a whale, but it's a big fish. It came along, swallowed him up for 3 days, kept him safe, and just happened to spit him out right where he needed to be. Good Lord. Faith is part of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Faithfulness is what it says. It's funny that our faith is just being faithful. Faithful. Now, let's go to Romans 12. 1 John 3 and 21, and I read this a while ago, and I was just like, oh, dear Lord, help me, Jesus. And it's in the Message version. I want to read it, and I want you just to understand, as a servant of God, you're called to do many things, and loving people is one of the hardest things because sometimes people are very unlovable because that's your flesh, and that's your experience, that's your feelings. But imagine how unlovable we were to God. And yet his Son, God the Son, came and died for you. And in 1 John 3, the Message version, it says, and in the scripture, boy, it says, for God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. This is like verse 20 above. It says, and friend, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves. Did you hear that? We're bold and free before God. Jesus Christ, as he commanded, as we keep his commandments, as we have personally been associated with Jesus Christ, we've accepted him. We live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. Could you imagine how that woman felt going into a Pharisee's house? Knowing how they talked to her and how they accused her and how they treated her. We don't do that in this church. That's not godly. If you need God, I want you to find him. She walked in. She humbled herself. She became the sacrifice. She gave him her brokenness. And she did it in faith because she knew he had what I need. Have you had an alabaster box moment in your life? I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be an everyday thing. Because the older you get, the more you walk this walk out, you're going to need him. You're going to need him. And you're going to need him almost as much as you need breath in your body. Give him the alabaster moment every day. Come in boldly, but in humility with brokenness, knowing that he's got what you need and he will do what he says he will do. That's the faith. And be the sacrifice every day when you walk out that door, when you greet your family, when you greet your friends, when you greet the person in the store or at the red light. I don't care who it is, the gas station. Be that person. And it starts with an alabaster box moment. Father, we thank you for the words that you have given us, Lord. We pray, Father Jesus, that we can be the humble servants, the loving children that you have called us to be. But in all that, we walk as mighty, roaring lions for the kingdom. Because this world doesn't know that kind of love. This world doesn't know you. This world doesn't know your holiness. Let us be those jars of clay that holds this precious treasure. But let us be visible for all to see. And we thank you for Holy Spirit who guides us, corrects us, gives us your revelation. We thank you for the word which empowers us, even ourselves, Lord. It helps us be more like you, and it defeats our enemy, the one that you hung on the cross for, the one that you overcome, the one that I smell. Let me roar and be the woman of God and the men of God that you called to be. In Jesus' name, amen.